It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. So one more hour. Feel free to get online. Four lines wide open. It is a holiday weekend, and we can tell. You guys are all doing something else, which is fine. But we're here live, so if you want to get online, if you've ever had trouble, a lot of times the lines are all jammed up and you can't get through. If you ever tried to get through, this is a good time to do it, it seems. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll bring up some articles as we wait for your calls. I wanted to bring this up. I meant to bring it up before with the net neutrality discussion, but Bob Metcalf invented Ethernet. Okay, he invented Ethernet with 3Com, and TJ, the owner of our company at Tab, met him recently, and they had a discussion about net neutrality. And you've always seen my opinion about net neutrality. We don't need it, and TJ's been of the other opinion where, oh, we must have net neutrality. Bob Metcalf changed his mind. So I'll put a link up here for you, and you can see what the pioneer of Ethernet talks about why we really do not want to look at the net neutrality concept. If you've got guys like Chris Murphy, you're pushing net neutrality, you know we're in trouble. You know it's going to the internet is going to cost you an extra arm and a leg if he's pushing net neutrality. That's not the direction we want to go. We want the market to fight it out. Just make it easier to put it up there. But Bob Metcalf, the father of Ethernet, agrees with me, or I agree with him, whichever direction you want to look at, because he's the inventor of Ethernet. Couple other things in the news. Bob and I both found this kind of creepy. Google reportedly had a super secret deal with MasterCard to link the online ads with offline purchases. So this is creepy, which is not, you know, Google is creepy by default, but and no matter how much I love their Google Project Fi cell service or their Pixel devices, it's still creepy. But if you're a MasterCard holder in the U.S., Google has reportedly been tracking whether your buying habits were influenced by online ads. So here's how it works. You're on the internet and you're surfing away and you see an ad for a Toro lawnmower and it happens to be a Google ad. You wouldn't necessarily know if it is or isn't. And you click on it. All right. You've clicked on this ad. They already know your IP address. They already know who you could be. MasterCard, if you go and purchase that Toro mower within 30 days, will report back to the Googleplex and say, hey, Google, that ad must have worked. You got Bob to buy the Toro. So all of our data on MasterCard, and all the data that we use on MasterCard is being given to Google because Google doesn't know. You know, they know what ads they put out there, but how would MasterCard know to only give them the ads that are give them the information for the companies that they're advertising. I'm not sure how that works, but MasterCard is selling us up the river to Google, letting them know their efficacy.
So did Google and MasterCard tell you that I own a Toro?
I just guessed. What's your password? No, just go ahead. So you can opt out, though. So we're going to put a link up here. This is from The Verge. This is a link up here. We'll put the information as far as how you can get off this and you can opt out of this. You can toggle off Google tracking your web and app activity, which, of course, is enabled by default. So we'll show you how to do that. But it is creepy, right? I mean, why would Google? I mean, obviously, they want to know how effective their ads are. And MasterCard is going to make more money to offer this data, but we didn't tell them they could use this data. But then it's their data. We decided to get their credit card, you know?
Well, if I have data and you want to buy it,
I'm going to sell it.
Yeah. That's when it's free.
That's why, yeah, you're the commodity. So we'll put that link up there for you. We'll see how you feel. Actually, there's a call coming in from David in Glastonbury about Google, but I don't know what it's about. What's going on?
How you doing, man? I'm the same guy that got maps burned into my tablet. I don't know if you remember the S3.
Oh, you have? Yeah, you had the issue with the OLED, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah. I got just an interesting thing. I don't know if you guys will know anything about it, but I had the tablet going, you know, using my Galaxy Note 9 as a hotspot.
Yeah.
And I had maps up on both. I was going to a job site.
Yeah.
And the two different devices started to conflict as to what turn to take and so on.
Yeah.
So I shut the audio off on my cell phone.
Yeah.
And the maps led me down a street. And you know what was funny is I was following the street signs and they were correct. Okay. Same thing on the tablet.
You know? Yeah.
And I got to the Twilight Zone.
What? What do you mean?
I just ended up on a dead end street.
Oh, gotcha. So I didn't know where to send you, huh?
Yeah. So, but then listen, I started up the my cell phone, the Note 9, and it said I was 18 minutes away. That was correct. They were both Google Maps.
Yikes. So there was a positioning problem.
What do you mean?
Somehow it didn't really quite know where you were, right? One of the devices knew where it was. The other device didn't know where it was.
We're using the same connection, though, because it's my cell. Yeah. I could see if I had a bad connection, that maybe it goes off or something, but my cell phone could be correct and the tablet could be wrong. It's frustrating when you got a schedule to keep, you know? And
yeah.
You figure, oh, good, I'm on time. It says that I'm at the right place, but there's no street there.
I would stay away from Google Maps, even though Google owns Waze. I think Waze is a better product. Have you tried it?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I also have a Garmin. So yeah. I got plenty of GPS.
Yeah,
so I should be able to get somewhere, you know?
Yeah, I've never had Waze fail me yet. It's always, you know, it tells me when I'm going to get somewhere I've never missed, although it'll send me down
Waze
some weird.
To get home.
Yeah, it'll send me. Go ahead.
The other thing is it tells you where police are and stuff.
That like is that. Handy, yeah, the speed traps. But you're actually looking to make sure the cops are safe. You know, we want to make sure that the police officers are safe. So that's why we talk. That's why
you
mark.
Give them a wide berth.
Yes, you give them a wide berth. Make sure everyone slows down and keeps it safe.
Slows down.
But
and the truth comes out. There's nothing. There's no updates. I mean, that was weird that they're two Google, they're two Android devices, and they send me to different things like that. There's no upgrades, or I can't uninstall maps on my tablet and reinstall it.
You can update them. Go ahead, Bob.
I'm thinking that they each device was using a different tower, maybe a different version of the cellular signals.
Maybe.
So they were on different towers, and so
no,
they triangulated.
I was using my Note 8 for a hotspot.
So the same device. So he had the Note 8 running maps and then hotspotting it to his tablet, which had the same maps, but maybe different maps.
Could have come down to different IPs registered to different locations.
Maybe. Well, same to the same.
You know, it does. The tablet does sound. If you listen to the audio, it does sound different than. Than the both of them, they don't sound exactly the same as how they describe things. But
the funny thing is, David, that you would actually do this.
No, you know what happened? I went into a store and I wanted to keep track of time if I had enough time to get to the estimate that I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned my phone on.
Yeah.
And that's why that was on. I'm driving down the road and they start to conflict. Well, I use the tablet's a bigger screen, easier to see.
I see. That makes sense. This is weird that you'd have both on. I can tell you, even with Waze, and my brother and I go down in a convoy all the way down to North Carolina, Waze will send both of us in different ways. Even though he's literally feet in front of me or feet behind me, if we're in a convoy, Waze will say, well, you go this way and this guy will go that way. You'd think the data should be the same.
Yeah, I know. That is frustrating. So there you go. Waze does the same thing.
Yes, but it does always get you there at the same time. So I can tell you that when it knows, I keep telling my brother this, you can't beat the time on Waze. So this is why speeding really technically is a stupid idea. Because if you look at Waze, right, and you're going to get, let's say it's a 30-mile trip, you can try doing 80, right? But you're not going to move the needle in that 30-mile trip to make it worth the $300 ticket. You're not. You're going to save 3 minutes, and you're going to be reckless driving 80 miles an hour. So if you look at that...
There's no doubt. But do you ever have maps tell you to take a right when it says take a left on the video?
No.
Audio says take a right, and the picture says take a left.
I've never had that happen.
the text says take a right.
Never had that happen. I don't even have the audio up. I just watch the arrows. I never listen to it because I just can't stand having it cut into my radio listening.
Yeah, the audio is oftentimes wrong. Yeah. But you know, because you could be close to 84, so it says go 15 miles on 84 or whatever, but you're not on 84. You're on a side street close to it.
When that's not, that could happen. That could screw it up. It doesn't know exactly where you are on the road.
So. Thank you for your services, gentlemen. Enjoy the holiday.
You too, David. Thank you. Yep. But yeah, the thing about Waze is, and I've tried to tell you, the speeding really. You can't win. I've driven this state. This is my job. I've done it for 28 years. I drive to all of our customers. They're all over the state, right? You cannot beat that time. Don't try to beat that time. The time that's telling you to get 30 miles away or whatever it is the time. And even if you speed, you will not get there much faster. There's too much stuff on the road affecting your getting there, whether it be lights, traffic.
I would contend you might save a minute.
It's not worth it.
And
65 doing 80 in a $300 ticket is not worth the minute.
I think the best insurance you can have against the getting a ticket is cruise control.
Well, there's that.
You set the cruise control for the speed limit.
Yeah.
You're going the safe, you know, you're on a safe speed, you're obeying the law,
right.
And you can't accidentally, that's what happens without speed control. You know, your speed tends to creep up, and you don't even aware of it. And you look down, and you go, holy cow. And then,
Well, in the old days, right, before these things, it's almost like the fish, right? How big a fish you caught. You know, the fish was this big. It's always this monstrous fish. Always some guy would tell you, I made great time. You know what, buddy? You didn't really track when you left. You made great time. You didn't make great time. Now I can tell you exactly how much time you made, because if you use Waze and you start it, it'll tell you when you're going to get there. And I can tell you, you will not be able to shave more than a couple minutes, and it's not worth speeding.
Right.
It's dangerous. It's not worth speeding. If you're trying to make great time, don't speed. Trust me on this. Make great time. Don't have kids in the car. They got to go pee all the time. Then you'll make great time. All right. I got to step out for a quick break. Three lines open. 1-800-966-WTIC. 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And so we're going to get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. I'm going to go to Rob in Cheshire first. Hey, Rob.
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
My wife has a computer that we actually have a place. It's ashore, and we get Xfinity, and I have I use their wireless modem, modem, right?
Yep.
And her computer hooks up, and she gets Gmail. When I come to Cheshire and hook it up to the Xfinity that we have here, the wireless automatically recognizes the change, and she can surf the internet and get on Google and Yahoo, but her Gmail will not come in unless I hook it up with the wire, directly with the wire.
What?
Yeah. So it's a little strange.
A little. That's really weird.
It says that the site can't be reached. It says that the site, it's got her mail. It says a Google Mail /u/#inbox might be temporarily down, or it may have moved permanently to a new web address.
Hang on. I know what it is then. Here's the only thing it could be. I could be wrong when I say that, but here's the only thing I think it could be. So the internet uses a thing called DNS. All right. And we've recommended OpenDNS constantly, right? And I don't think you're running it, right? You're not running OpenDNS on either of these sites?
I am running it, actually.
On both sites? Or just on one site?
The little O lights up when I, it's I don't see it presently, but I've seen it tells me that they change the address every 20 minutes or something like that.
Okay, and you're doing it at both sites. You've got OpenDNS running at your shore site and at your home site.
I believe so. I put it on the computer down at the shore.
All right.
So I don't know why it would stop working when I bring it up to Cheshire.
I'm thinking it's a DNS issue, because what's happening, I think, when you come to Cheshire is whatever site that you're using to get to Google Mail is not available in the DNS configuration. And that's why you can't find it. Because you can get to any other service, so you know internet's working. But the only thing you're not getting is that one site for mail. So that's why I thought it was a DNS issue. So I guess I need you to confirm that you're running OpenDNS in Cheshire. All right. So you do a test. Do a internet bad guy test and see if you actually have the block that comes up. Or you can confirm it by logging into your OpenDNS account in Cheshire. If you are, then it's not a DNS issue, and I'm even more perplexed. Do you have any other ideas, Bob?
No, because they've got a few things here, but nothing makes sense to me.
Yeah. Clear your cache. So you're using webmail, right? So this is a browser. It could be a browser issue where your cache is directing into the wrong place, but it's the same computer, right? Or is it a different computer?
Nope, same computer.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Are you using an app or are you using just the web? Yeah, like a browser.
No, I'm using, I don't know what you mean by that.
Are you using a browser to get to her mail, her Gmail? Is it like the Beach Ball? Is it the little Firefox? Is it IE?
It's Chrome.
Using Chrome, okay. So you're using Chrome at both locations on the same device.
It's got to be DNS.
I think it's DNS. It's got to be DNS. The thing that the fact that you say you're using OpenDNS at both locations perplexes me, but I think you've got two different DNSs happening. The one in Cheshire is wrong or having a problem finding the resource because it needs to be updated or is incorrect. So you can power cycle your modem. You'll get new DNS if you're not using OpenDNS in Cheshire, or maybe it's misconfigured. That should get you the correct DNS, the latest one from your provider. But if you think you are using OpenDNS, let us know if you are. And if you are, I'm even more confused.
Well, I just opened the OpenDNS, and it says I have one network, and the network is the one that's down at the shore.
Ah, so you're not running it in Cheshire right now.
So that's probably what it is.
Yes, sir. You've got different DNS running in Cheshire. So we need you to configure open. What do you have for a router in Cheshire? Is it the same Xfinity service, or is it Cox service, or what is it?
It's Frontier.
All right. Do you have your own firewall?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
I checked the firewalls, and they're all, all got green arrows.
No, but they're your firewalls that you purchased, or do they come with the service?
No, they must come with the service.
Okay. So start and configure OpenDNS on your home Cheshire machine right now, as if it's the first day you've configured OpenDNS.
So I would go to Add Manage Networks.
Yes, sir. And add this one. This network. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, here's the thing with OpenDNS.
Yep.
They allow you one network for the free ones. So if you want more than one network,
might charge you a little
they
bit.
They might charge you, yeah. Or you got to create two accounts.
You could do two free accounts, Rob. One on your name and one on her name.
Well, I have one. I have one on my computer. I run OpenDNS on my computer.
Yeah. So configure one of the networks in your Cheshire home to be controlled that way, and I think you'll be corrected.
Okay. I wouldn't mind if I just needed that extra security and...
To pay them? Yeah.
To pay them. So,
go online and maybe pay for it. But I think that's your problem, Rob. If that makes sense?
Yeah, it does.
All right, good.
So do you have an address that I would put in for the one that I have?
No, it's whatever the Frontier network is. I don't know what that is. It's your Frontier network.
Oh, okay.
You got to add that specific network. I got to go, Rob.
Okay, thank you.
You got it, sir. DNS issues are always fun. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. Let's go to your calls. You are nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Tom in East Longmeadow. Morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Doing fine. How are you, sir?
All right. Hey, for Ed, who was looking to scan slides.
Yeah.
Somebody gave me a scanner a few years ago, an Epson scanner, Epson Perfection V370.
Yep.
Now, I'm sure that's not, it's been upgraded to something else. But it actually, when it was brand new, it actually came with a slide tray.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could put 9 slides in. You can scan at 1200 DPI. So, it's a pretty good alternative, a fairly inexpensive alternative. I don't know how much they cost, but
right. But they were talking about slides or negatives. Like he's talking about, I think he mentioned film negative.
Oh, well, I think it does negatives too.
Does it? But 9 at a time?
Yeah, probably not 9 on a negative. Well, that's the same size, though. That's
yeah, I don't know.
Same size.
Just seems like a long time to do that. Did it work for you?
Well, here's the problem. The person that gave it to me didn't have the slides thing. So, and I know I could never find one separately.
Yeah.
So I haven't. I mean, I've got thousands of slides that I have to do. That's on the list.
Yep.
Of things to do in the future.
Yeah,
it's not the bucket list, but it's the list.
Well, Legacy Box is an alternative. They'll do it for you. They advertise on the station. I'm not promoting them or anything like that, but I've heard their ads a billion times. And you just send their stuff in, and they'll do it for you.
Yeah, frugal Yankee here, though.
I hear you. No, I hear you. But it'll never get done, Tom. You're like every frugal Yankee I know, including myself. It'll never get done.
Ah, sure it will. Sure
all right.
It will.
Yeah, all right. What's up? What else is going on?
Update. Called you a few weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
I bring the internet into the house just using a hotspot on T-Mobile.
Okay, yeah.
And
your unlimited service, right? You have your unlimited service or something like that?
Well, it's a 50 gig cap.
Yep.
On that hotspot, but there's a way to get around that, too. I don't want to go over the air with it, but there's a way to get around it.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, we used 106 the first month, I think it was, so with no problem, no throttle.
106 gigabytes?
Tested it out.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
You had 106 gigabytes you used in the first month?
Yes.
Okay.
And now that my son's back at Quinnipiac, you know, it won't be that high.
Well, yeah, that's not very high, actually, but go ahead.
Tested it out some more, brought the Charter modem back the other day. So fully involved in this, fully bought in, and, you know, it's great. Works great. And again, we're only using it for Sling and for the desktop.
Right.
All our phones are unlimited. Don't have to use the hotspot for anything else but Sling and the desktop.
That's worked out. Well, the point that you've gotten around that cap is the interesting one. Because, again, in my family with Cox, when my kids are in, we're going to use a terabyte of data. So we're going to use 1,000 gigs. And you're talking about 100 gigs. That's nothing. I mean, that's very little data. Very, very little. So you've done...
Yeah, frugal Yankee.
Yeah, that's done great.
Everything. You can do everything. Frugally, spending money, you can do anything.
Oh, I agree. Just for normal usage, I mean, fighting three boys, you know, my wife uses the internet, I use the internet, is almost impossible, especially when they're home and they're trying to surf. Again, they're binging Chuck all day. If they do that at high definition, that's a lot of data you're sucking down the internet. So it's worked out for you. I'm glad.
Yeah, empty nest here now. So we
yeah, you're good.
Here's a strange thing. I actually moved the phone that we used for the hotspot yesterday. Just I wanted to get downstairs right next to the TV, and I tested it out, and it actually streamed a hair faster than it did upstairs, hitting a different tower on the different side of the house. But here's a weird thing. Testing it as far as what was downloading to that phone was around 25 megabits.
Mm-hmm.
When I turned the hotspot on and ran and tested my phone through the hotspot, 30 megabits.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's strange that it would stream faster through the hotspot than directly to that phone.
I hear you. It does seem odd. I mean, the test isn't perfect, but it is an odd difference. It should be the similar speed, obviously. That does seem odd. I would just chalk it up to a faulty test. And the more you test, it'll probably get more around that 25, I would think.
Yeah.
But that's all I'm guessing is the download is just calculating it incorrectly.
Well, all right. Have a great weekend. Hey, take Monday off. You've been working.
Oh, thanks, man. I'll do that. You too. All right, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. It's nice to get the day off. That was nice of him.
Yeah, I can use one.
Yeah. Let's go on to Al in West Heartland. Hey, Al.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I have an iPhone 6S Plus that I recently got.
Yeah.
A hand-me-down. My kids just give me their hand-me-downs and they get new iPhones, so that's how I get mine.
All right.
And on my previous one, which I think was a 6S, I had used my iPhone as a hotspot occasionally, and once I started using it, I said, well, this works pretty nice. If I don't have Wi-Fi around, I just hook up my laptop, and it works well. And this one doesn't seem to work. So I said, maybe it's just where I was or something. And now I'm trying. I tried two different laptops. I went through all the settings. I went online. I reset my network. I don't know, on the phone, there's a network reset option. I tried to plug the phone directly in. It says you can try it that way to the computer. that didn't work. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on. It just, it doesn't want to connect. When I try to connect, when I'm normally connected, there's like a blue bar across the top that tells you, hey, you got somebody connected through your iPhone, and it's me. You know, there's no connection. And that blue bar, it like flashes like it's trying to connect, and it goes away and flashes, and it goes away, and then it just stops trying. And I'm like, okay, something's wanting to work, but it's, and I haven't figured out why it's not working.
All right. So it could be the version of iOS on your Apple device. This is just a barely an improvement over the other Apple 6, right? This is something, this is just different flavor of a 6.
I think it's just bigger, actually.
Yeah.
The phone itself. But
bigger in your hand.
Right.
So when you turn the Wi-Fi on, have you tested it with other other laptops or other devices to see if it's some sort of incompatibility with your laptop seeing that signal? It shouldn't be that different.
I tried two different laptops.
You have? Okay, so it's the device. It is the device then. If you've tried two different laptops, it's the Apple phone itself that's causing the trouble. It could be a problem with the device's broadcast or capability of broadcasting the hotspot. So it's a hand-me-down, so it could be beat up in some way. I would maybe update the iOS to the latest one. Have you done that?
Again, online, it told me to do that. I looked, and I didn't say that I was behind, but I guess it doesn't necessarily mean that I am.
You have to. I would do a Google search on what the current version of iOS Apple has out for that flavor of phone, and then see what it is at, and then you'll know definitively. And if you're not, if you're not at it, you should update it. I think they're up to 12. I read a story recently about iOS 12 driving everyone bonkers because it'll tell you your phone's not up to iOS 12 and then you'll have to hit OK, but it won't give you a link to do it. That's a whole other issue, but I didn't want to bring it up today, but I did. So go see what iOS you're at and then see what your phone can handle, and then I definitely would do that. Now, if that doesn't work, then it's a problem physically with your phone. There's probably something wrong with its ability to broadcast that Wi-Fi signal. There's not much you can do with that. I mean, maybe you could get it repaired, but I don't think I would bother unless it's really important to you, because the cost to do that might not be worth it.
Right.
So, but I think since you tested the other devices and you get the same result, it is your phone that's the problem.
So, okay.
Bob, what are you doing? Checking your iOS? Do you have an iPhone 6 as well?
Yeah, I got a 6S.
That's what he had. You had a 6S, right, Al?
Correct.
Now you've got a 6S Plus.
It's just called 6S Plus, yeah.
Whatever they call them.
Mine says 4.6.
You're at iOS 4?
It says modern firmware.
I don't know, Al. But I would update you.
I don't think that's right.
No, it doesn't seem right. Officially, it's 11.2.1.
Oh, here it is. 11.4.1 is what I'm at.
Oh, okay.
And I know I'm one behind.
Okay. So it's even further. Yeah. There's so many flavors of this stuff. So check yours out, update it, see if it works. And if it doesn't, you're going to go to the geniuses and see if they can fix it for you.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for the help, guys.
You got it, sir. Bye-bye. That's what I think, though. It's got to be a problem with this physical hardware. So feel free to get online, guys. We got four lines open. We're here till 11 o'clock, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Here's another article I want to bring up quickly. Fortnite. And probably you're probably sick of hearing the word Fortnite if you're a parent with kids. But it is a massive success. It's a free game making billions of dollars, all right? Literally billions of dollars. And it's put out by Epic Games. And so the folks at Epic pretty much told Google to pound sand and said, I'm not putting my app in your Google store. Because you know what Google takes? The VIG on Google is 30%, right? So Google's all upset. Hey, Epic's not putting their app in our store. So what do? They found a bug in Epic's app for Fortnite and posted it real early so that people were aware of the security risk. And Epic, of course, is a little cranky that Google would do this. It's very irresponsible of Google to reveal this flaw. The Epic was, again, bypassing the Google store and feels that the folks at Google are just trying to make an example out of them. So the issue is this. Google is saying you must, you know, to be safe on the App Store, you got to put your apps in our store and we get to take 30%. If you don't like it, we'll make you an offer you can't refuse. So we'll put a link up here for you as far as how this story goes. But there is some risks, especially with your kids, being directed to the wrong sites. There's a lot of Fortnite apps that are malicious. So you got to train your kids to make sure if they're not going to go through the store, which, by the way, has plenty of examples of bad apps as well. They and Apple have both been caught with malicious apps on their sites. But if your kids are going to get that app from Epic, make sure they're at Epic and not being tricked by being given a link to something that's malicious. There's tons of malicious apps out there. But I do agree with Epic that Google should not have released this flaw, which can allow bad guys to do some sort of hijacking with the phone, if they leverage this flaw. Google's just doing it just because they're mad because Epic didn't want to pay the VIG on having their app in their store. So we're going to put a link up to this. We'll get back to your calls. We have four lines wide open. Take a quick break here. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Dr. Alessi is live in the green room, so he'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. But we've got some news while we wait for calls. Four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So here's a good one, Bob. I like this one that he found.
Oh, Walmart.com won't sell certain items if you live too far away, report says.
Oh, boy.
The retail giant is telling customers that items are out of stock to avoid expensive shipping costs, according to the Wall Street Journal. Have you noticed some regular household items you want to buy on Walmart.com are out of stock? There may be good reason for that. Walmart changed its e-commerce systems to avoid orders deemed too expensive to ship and started telling customers those items are out of stock, according to the Wall Street Journal.
You gotta love technology. That is smart.
If the item is stored in a warehouse that's too far from the shopper, the company reportedly won't sell and ship it.
No soup for you.
Walmart didn't immediately respond to a request for confirmation and comment on the report. But the journal says the company introduced the system earlier this month, and some suppliers weren't warned of this change in advance. Suppliers reportedly have to stock their products at more Walmart warehouses nationwide to keep the items in stock on the retailing website, which has to compete fiercely, yeah. Easy for me to say, with e-commerce giant Amazon.
Which I wouldn't put it past them either, by the way. But it is interesting, right? So if you're able to then set a price, so you've already figured out that Bob, you already know how old Bob is, how much money he makes, what his propensities to buy stuff are. So you're going to give him a price of whatever for that, furniture polish. Bob's willing to pay $6 for the furniture polish. So they've already dealt with the difference in pricing with Bob. And then they're going to say, oh, Bob, you live that far away? It's not in stock. I'm going to sell it to you. We can't make enough money on you on top. So, this is getting really insidious. I mean, you talk about the price of EpiPens and how crazy that is. Look at what's happening with e-commerce in that they can do this to us, where you're too far away, they're not going to sell it to you. They can maybe not sell it to you if you don't make enough money, or they can set a price to make sure that you pay more than the next guy who comes online. This is the true problem of e-commerce. If I buy a book on Amazon, I should pay the same exact amount you're paying. I'm not sure we are. Same thing with airline seats. The prices you're getting are also dealt with what your propensity is to pay it. Your zip code is where you're buying it. It's almost like buying car insurance. If you happen to be in a city, you're going to charge more than the guy who's in the suburb. This is not quite how it's supposed to work.
So
you should be able to spend
to
the same for your furniture polish no matter where you are.
We need to open a VPN company so people can be in the area that they want to be, so it'll get shipped out.
How crazy is that? I know. It's nuts that you have to consider that. But we'll put a link up here for you. But this is how smart the technology has gotten, where they can actually just say, no soup for you. It's an old Jerry Seinfeld reference. Yeah. Let's go on to Rich in East Hartford. Hey, Rich.
Hello.
What's up? We got a few more minutes.
Okay. I rented a modem from Comcast.
Okay.
And it's like $150 a year, and I want to try to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And buy my own. Can I do that?
Of course you can.
Okay. I didn't know if I could hook up to their lines and all that, because
so you're going to go and purchase a modem at a big box store like Staples or Best Buy, and you're going to go to the area where it says this is supported by Comcast. They literally break out the shelves to show you the Cox and Comcast, and I think even Frontier modems. And what you'll do is you'll buy the modem, bring it back to your home. I assume you already have a router, Rich?
That's correct, I do.
Perfect. Then you're going to call Comcast, and you're going to give them the MAC address of this new modem and say, hey, I've gotten rid of your modem. I want to return the modem. And or you probably have to drop that off at a Comcast store or whatever the process is to return the modem. And give them
ask you a question?
Yeah,
go ahead. Too computer savvy. The MAC, where's the number? Where is that? Is it on the box?
Oh, gosh, yes. It is going to be very prominent because they're going to ask for it. It'll be in larger font so everyone can read it. And you're going to give that MAC address to the folks at Comcast, and they're going to allow that modem to connect to their network. And you're in business, and you've saved $150. Take your wife out for dinner.
Thank you. I love your show. I've been listening since you guys started. So.
Oh, thanks, Rich.
All right. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, so you can run your own modem. Not a problem. A couple other things we talked. Tesla had another issue this week. They have a network. So some folks actually open and close their Tesla vehicles and turn them on and stuff, unlock them with an app on their phone. Isn't that great?
Well, it's convenient.
It's convenient until the network is down. So Tesla had a big issue with the fact that their network went down. They had a large outage. So people couldn't actually open their cars with their app. Because Tesla's internet was down, and some of the comments were kind of funny. Basically, one of the funny ones that I saw here is, "What's up with your network? I'm locked out of my car. Battery is dead. I tried switching out the battery, but it disconnected from the car. And your app is down. My P100D Model S is basically an expensive brick at the moment." So I would tell you guys, use a key. I wouldn't trust an app to start my car if you paid me. But I know everyone's high-tech with Tesla. But when the internet's down, you got an expensive brick. We'll put the link up here for you. Thank you guys for joining us on this Labor Day weekend. Thank you, Mike G, for posting everything live. It'll all be up there for you guys. Thank you, Matt, for producing. Stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next. He's here live, so give him the calls. He came in on this holiday weekend. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And have a great 3-day weekend.
See you next week.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.